All right, so why am I wearing a Royals jersey today? Well, I wouldn't normally dress like this for church, but I have a story I want to tell you. It's a pretty cool story. I'm a baseball player. I played in college a couple of years. I didn't do a whole lot, but I enjoyed pitching, loved high school baseball. About my junior year of college, I realized it wasn't taking me anywhere, and it was time to drop out of that and get on with life, and so I did. But I want to read you a story about John Scalinos. Anybody ever heard the story of John Scalinos? He was a coach, NCAA coach at Cal Poly. He won two titles with his team. And he actually was known for winning, let me find this, 1,198 career wins. He became a member of the NCAA College Baseball Hall of Fame. And he was asked to speak at a, what do they call it, ABCA convention in Nashville. There were 4,000 coaches there. Over half of them had never seen this guy before, didn't know anything about him. But he got up wearing home plate around his neck. And this was his speech that he gave. He said, "You're probably wondering why I'm wearing home plate around my neck. Maybe you think I've escaped from a state hospital or something. No, I'm old, but I'm not crazy. I stand before you today to share with you, baseball people, some of what I've learned in my life and what I've learned about home plate." He then asked if a little league coach in the audience could tell him the exact width of home plate. Anybody know the exact width of home plate? Not one. I couldn't have told you. Did I hear it? Coach Cool, what is it? Almost. Almost. You're getting closer. 17 inches. For Little League Baseball, the home plate width is 17 inches. So then he went on to ask again, "Can anybody tell me the width of the high school home plate?" Anybody in here know the high school home plate width? There you go, 17 inches. So then he asked, "Okay, how about college ball? Anybody in here know the width of home plate in college ball?" You probably know where I'm going at this point. Anybody? There you go. And then he asked, "Okay, major leagues." And a scout stood up and yelled, "17 inches." And he said, "That's right, 17 inches. And he asked this question. He said, "What do we do with the big league pitcher who cannot throw the ball over 17 inches?" And they said, "You know what? We send him back to the minors." And he said, "That's right. We don't widen the plate. We don't make it 18 inches. We don't make it 19 inches. We don't make it 20 inches. We stick to 17 inches, and we just take them to where they need to be, and we make them live up to what they have to do, and that's hit 17 inches every time." He then went on to say, "We don't teach accountability anymore. There's no consequences for failing to meet standards. We just widen the plate." The room was silent. "If we fail," I'm still reading his words, "if we fail to hold ourselves to a higher standard, a standard we know in our heart to be right. If our schools, churches, and government fail to hold themselves accountable to who they serve, we only have dark days ahead." And then he paused and concluded with this, "Coaches," and I'm going to say to everybody today, not just coaches, "keep your players, no matter who they are, your children, and most of all, keep yourself to 17 inches." We like to widen the plate. We like to make it easier. "Well, I'm getting close. I'm doing okay." I remember growing up making the statement, "Close is only good with hand grenades and something else." I can't even remember what the other one was. Horseshoes. That's right. Horseshoes and hand grenades. I love this story because it applies to each and every one of us, no matter who you are in the crowd today, no matter your age, there is a standard to live by. And rather than just keeping on making it easier and easier, how about we live up to the standard that God has given us as Christians? As people of God, we have a standard to live by. Don't confuse this today and hear me say that God is not a God of grace, that God is not a God of forgiveness. Please don't hear that today. But we can make it so easy to just say, "You know what? I'm getting close. It's okay." But God has given us guidelines, and there are standards for our own lives and for our children that we must live up to. John Vargas is the second person on the rotation for the Kansas City Royals pitching staff. Right now, he's the only one with a winning record at 5-1. The rest of them have losing records. But can I tell you? If he gets up there the next time he pitches, as good as he might look throwing the ball, if he can't get it over the plate, they're not going to call timeout and say, we need to get a wider plate. They're going to take him away. And they're going to put someone else in. And how many of you may be thinking, man, here we go with another parenting sermon. Well, I don't even have kids. But I want you to understand, this is not just for us to pass on to our children. This is for us today. This is for me today to live up to the standard of which God has called me to live up to. I also want you to think about this. When Courtney and my children get together about once a month, twice a month sometimes, we have what we call family night movie. Can I be honest with you? Sometimes those movies are not my top pick, okay? You understand that? And we all know what that's like, to sit down as a family. But you know what the importance of that is being together. So today, if you're here and you're already wanting to check out and go, you know what, I don't even have kids, or my kids are grown, I'm telling you, you can learn something today that can apply to your life. And we are family and we're together. Isn't that awesome? Amen. I believe this applies to all of us mainly because whether you're a father or mother or not, doesn't matter. We're children. We're children of God. And that is something we can learn from today. Many of you, as quickly as I'm saying this, you're thinking also, well, what do you know about parenting? You've got a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old. Can I be honest with you? I don't know a lot. I'm just doing my best. But I'm going to share with you what comes from the Bible. And from that, we can get an idea of what home plate looks like. That 17 inches that we are to live up to, the standard that we are to uphold and to pass on to the next generation. So I'm not just going to give you my opinion on how I think you should parent. I want to give you what God's Word says. And here's the good thing about the Bible. We talked about it already with the kids. It doesn't matter if you're 5 or 35. The Bible remains true and still applies. So with that being said, will you turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6? Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's in the Old Testament, right after Numbers. To give you a little context to this. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses has just revealed these Ten Commandments that we talked about earlier. He's just brought them before the people. And he's giving them the standard to live by. Straight from God. And here's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We want to begin in verse 1. Reading verse 1 and 2, it says this. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing Jordan to possess, so that you, everybody say you, your children, say your children, and their children. There you go. After them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. Church, as you teach your children to fear the Lord, as you teach them to live according to His commands, not only will you be changed, not only will you be directed to live up to that standard, but you will change not only the next generation of your children, but the generations to come. How exciting is that? That God has put within us a power to change generations. Can you say amen to that? Our goal as parents is not to just widen the plate. Our goal as parents is to take the dependence that they have on us and direct that to our children, to direct them to God. To where they may depend on us for food on the table. They depend on us for clothes on their back when they're little. But as they get older and those things they can do on their own, that they will change that dependence into God and leaning towards God. So I want to give you two things, just real simple. Two things that we learn from Deuteronomy 6. Two of the most important principles that we as parents could ever do. And when I say parents, it's really for everyone. Number one, it's real simple. It's on the back of the bulletin, but if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Number one is love your God. Love your God. Deuteronomy 6:5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Can you say it with me? Say, love your God. with how much of our heart should we love God? All. That's right. The Scripture does not say with some. It doesn't say with a little bit. We have the 17 inches right there. That's the directive, to love God with all our hearts. And so my question is, parents, do you love God with all your heart or with some of your heart? With just a little bit. What if someone were to walk in your home? Is the language you speak saying that you love God with all your heart? The things you watch, does it say you love God with all your heart? How you treat your wife, does it say you love God with all your heart? That's what we are directed to do. To not just say, well, I'm good at one of those, so I'm making it. And then we just begin to widen the plate. God says to love Him with all our hearts. And here's the problem. If we're to be honest, the world we live in today, there's a lot of things that can distract us from loving God with all our heart. As parents, we want to provide for our kids. And so many of us think ourselves, with good intentions, if I can just give my child more than I had when I was growing up, then I'm doing something very beneficial for them. That's a good thing. I want my children to have more than I had as I was growing up. So we work hard, pouring ourselves into our careers, trying to get more things, when yet we're not giving our children what they really need, which is us. I'm telling you, I'm talking to myself today. This is not just for you. Be careful not to get distracted in trying to provide for them everything. A deeper relationship with the only one they need to really know is ultimately God. That's what we are to do. We want to provide for them the best opportunities we can. So we get them in soccer and baseball and dance and all of these good things. Gymnastics. They're all great things. We work hard so we can have a nice vehicle to transport them around in and get them from point A to point B. We save up so we can get them the nice vehicle when they turn 16, because it's borderline child abuse if you don't have something for them to drive when they turn 16. We save up so we can help them get a college degree, which is a great thing. But if we're not careful, we become child-centered parents instead of God-centered parents. We're so focused on them. And we get distracted. And the Bible tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart. How important is your involvement with God and church? You know, I'm not going to beat a dead horse, because we talk about the faithfulness to church a lot. So I don't want to spend too much time on that. I just want to show you what statistics tell us, what children are saying to us based on your involvement in church. Let me give them to you. The Swiss government published an article several years ago with some interesting facts about kids who grow up and become active Christ followers as adults. If mom and dad both go to church, the children are 72% more likely to go to church. 72%. If only mom goes and dad decides, I'm going to stay home, watch some football, and hang out, 15% of those children will wind up going to church as adults. 15%. However, if only dad takes the children to church, it goes up to 44%. So dads, don't ever underestimate the value of your role in discipling your children. 44%. If both parents decide not to attend church, that child only has a 6% chance of winding up in church serving God. That's how important it is. We can preach it all day long, but you can't avoid statistics. It tells us that there is a value, there is an importance in keeping God first in your life. So the first thing we have to do is love God with all our heart. And secondly, to lead your family. To lead your family. Where am I getting this from? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 again. And Moses is going to tell us in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9, it says, these commandments, talking about the 10 again, that I give you today, are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Church, it's important that we lead our family, intentionally lead our families. Not just let them lead you, but intentionally lead your family. I love this quote from Edward, Duke of Windsor. He came to America and he said this. He said, "The thing that impresses me the most about America is the way parents obey their children." No joke. Think about that. Church, we are to lead them spiritually. We are to lead them. We are to set the tone. We have the divine authority to lead our household. And my question is, are you leading or are you allowing your children to lead? Teaching your children discipline is not just to keep peace in the home. I want to skip this, but I'm going to read it to you. Lord, help me. I was going to tell you, this was my dad's probably go-to scripture when it came to discipline. And after I read this, I want to encourage you that I'm not promoting anything here. Proverbs 23:13 says this, and I think it's kind of funny. "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die." It's there. It's in the Bible. Proverbs 23:14. "You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." Do you hear what that's saying? I'm not telling you to go home and beat your children. Please, do not walk out of here saying that I'm all about abuse, okay? That's not what I'm saying. It's discipline. It's a loving discipline that our children need. And it's not just so you have peace in the home. It's not just so they won't embarrass you when you're at Walmart. You know what I'm talking about? It is a heaven or hell situation. Because if they never learn to submit to their parents, how will they ever learn to submit to God? We have a responsibility. I want my kids to know my voice so that when I call their name, you know, it's not so that I can have a power trip. It's not so I can say, look what I can do. It's to keep them safe. We have 17 kids in a 3-house area in our neighborhood. My 2, we have neighbors across the road have 8, and we have neighbors behind them and have 5. And so there are 17 children running back and forth across the street every single day. It's a madhouse. It's crazy. And we love it. We have a blast. But Connor and Tessa love it because there's always somebody to play with. But the problem is, there is a road that they have to cross. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to correct my children because I see them running, knowing that a car could be coming, and they didn't stop to look both ways. So we've had to learn that. But over time, I had to stop them and say, listen, when I call your name, you need to stop whatever it is you're doing because I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to keep you safe. And church, how do you think God feels about every one of us? As children of God, we may be headed the wrong direction. And he's saying, if you'll just hear my voice and know that I'm calling out to you to save you, to keep you safe because I love you. We must lead our families. Impress these things upon your children. It's 17 inches. It's keeping that standard of living. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road. Obviously, they didn't have cars then. When we ride, how many times are we riding down the road, taking trips, and we've got our children right there with us? Turn the devices off. Turn the radio off and talk about the things of God. When we lie down at night, every single night, either Courtney or I pray for our children and we talk about the things of God. Tessa loves reading out of her devotional every single night. I'm not saying that to impress you or to brag. I'm telling you it's important to us. And there's a reason. Because the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I can't promise you that they're going to serve God when they're old. I don't know. I can only do my part now to make sure that I've done everything I can for them to know God. And the rest is up to God. I have to trust Him in that. Courtney and I lead relationally. My kids see us go out on dates. They see us hug one another and kiss one another. Why do I want them to see that? Because I want them to know that they are not in charge. We guard the integrity of our marriage and we are not child-centered parents. We went on vacation and left them at home, and we were happy to do so. We love them to death, and we couldn't wait to get home and see them. But I got to tell you, it was nice. But I also want them to understand we are a God-centered family, and we have a God-centered marriage. I want Connor to see what it's like to treat a woman by example, not by what he sees on television. I want Tessa to know how to be treated by a man so that when some crazy-haired, hairy-legged kid comes in with a bunch of hormones wanting to take her out, she's going to look at his heart. She's going to ask, does he fear the Lord before they ever walk out the door together? It's up to me to begin that now. She's a long ways from that. Many years from that. I take Tess on dates. I teach her what it's like to be treated like a lady. Because it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. We're countercultural parents. We don't go by what everybody else is doing. We want to do it the way we feel God has told us to do it. We set the standards in our home. We decide what 17 inches looks like in our home. And so do you. The question is, do you just keep making it easier and easier? I love this story of a single mom who had a teenage boy who wanted to go watch movies with his friends. And they weren't the greatest movies. And she was struggling with how to handle that. And she was praying and asking God, God, what do I do? He wants to go out with his friends, but I want to set an exam. And he kept asking her, Mom, just let me go to the movies. All of them are going. Why can't I go? There's not that much bad stuff in it. It's okay. And she had an idea. And she said, I tell you what, I'll let you go to the movie if you'll make brownies with me first. He said, okay. I'll have some brownies. So they got in the kitchen. They started mixing up the brownies in the mixing bowl. Got it ready to pour in the pan to cook. And right before they did, she said, I need one more thing. She gave him a spoon and she said, I want you to go out in the backyard and I want just a small scoop of dog poop on this spoon. Yeah, gross, isn't it? And he's like, oh. So he goes and he gets it and he brings it back in. And he's, why in the world do you want a spoonful of dog poop? Oh, I'm just going to mix it in. We're just going to make these brownies. And she mixed it in there. This is going to be good. And she poured it in. She began to cook it. And he's like, that is disgusting. What are you doing? And she said, but you don't understand, son. It's just a little bit of poop. And at that moment, he understood. He realized that just a little bit of bad is too much. So we have to decide what that is for our children. I'm not telling you not to let your children go to movies. There's great movies out there. I slept through one yesterday. I cannot stay awake in the movies. Church, if your heart is wholly surrendered to Him, you are in charge. And just because everyone else is doing something doesn't mean that's the right standard for your family. You decide that. You decide what that looks like. Don't be so concerned with your children's immediate happiness right in the moment that you're not so concerned with their holiness and their full pursuit of God in every single way. I'll never forget when I was baptizing Connor just 2 years ago. And it was one of those, we were having it outside. Down by the event center. We have a baptismal down there. It's actually where we were going to be this morning if it was warmer. We were going to set up down there and have church. And I had prepared this cool thing I wanted to say right before I was going to baptize him. Unfortunately, we hadn't heated the water that day. And the water was cold. And so we set him in the water, and I'm standing there in the water with him, and I'm trying to talk, and I'm using Proverbs 22:6, which I already told you. Train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it when he's older. And as I'm talking, Connor just, out of nowhere, he just goes, oh, Dad, just get on with it. Because he's freezing. So everybody just started laughing. I cracked up and then I baptized him and we moved on. But you know what? That scripture, I'm telling you, that's what I live by. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. Here's the cool thing about this. It sounds great. But listen to where we get the context of the word train in this scripture. It's from the Hebrew word kanak. This is going to make me sound really smart. I'm going to be honest with you. I got it out of Strong's Concordance. It's a big, thick book. that'll give you Hebrew words and Greek words. You can look at it online if you want. But it's from Strong's Concordance. And the word train actually means the palate of your mouth. The palate of your mouth. And what would happen in Old Testament times when an Israelite woman would have a baby, the Hebrew midwife would take her finger, she would dip it in paste, and she would put it on the child's roof of their mouth, right on the palate, and it would cause them to have a hunger, and it would allow them to nurse. That is what we're doing. We train our children in the way they should go. We initiate a craving for what is true, what is right, what is pure, and what is holy. And when we see that fruit come to fruition, when we see it actually work, the children understand. They get a taste of what God is like, and they want more. And they cling to that that we know is God. And they cling to that which we are trying to teach them. We're just giving them a taste. Train up a child in the way he should go. You're just giving them a taste. So they can want that for themselves. If they're not going to live on your coattails of your relationship with God, they're going to want their own. That's 17 inches. That's keeping that standard in front of you. Our role is to transfer dependence from us to God. How do we do that? We love God with all our heart. And we lead our family. If you want to lead half-heartedly, if you want to live half-heartedly and let life happen, I promise you life will happen and you'll kiss your kids goodbye, you'll send them off to college, they'll walk down the aisle and before you go along, you're saying, where did it go? I'm not even there yet. I know how fast it's going for me, so I can't imagine how fast the next 10, 15 years are going to go. But we have to lead intentionally. I want to know that every single year I did everything I could to train up my child in the way he should go. You bow your heads with me. Lead your children. Let God lead you so that you can lead your children. This church is here to partner with you. That's why we have Junction K5. We have Tiny Town. We have Rural Rangers. We have all of these things so that we can train your children. But to be honest with you, it is not our job. It's yours. The most important thing I do as a pastor, I stand here before you every week and I love speaking to you and encouraging you and challenging you. But if we grow an incredible church and have great success and my children fall away from God, I've failed. So my first responsibility in my life is to my wife and to my children. So with us standing here today, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles and parents, sisters and brothers, my question to you is, are you leading people or are they leading you? What does 17 inches look like in your life? Do you have a standard that you live by? Or do you just go through life saying, you know what, I'm close enough. I'm doing just good enough. It's okay. If you're a parent in the room and you're saying, Chad, I need prayer. I haven't been leading my home the way I should. And I just want you to pray with me. Will you just raise your hand and make that commitment to God? You're not making it to me. You're saying, God, I want from this moment forward to lead with intention, to lead my family, not let my children lead me, but to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. And if that's you and you want to make that commitment right now, I just want to pray with you. Will you raise your hand? Anyone? Okay. Anyone else? Lord, you see these hands that were raised. Father, I pray for a passion and a desire to want to serve you like never before. God, a desire to be who they need to be for their children in this moment. God, that they would begin to lead their children. And as their children depend upon them, they would take that dependence and focus it on you. Use each one of us in this room to lead intentionally. Our friends, our children, our family members. Lord, whoever it is that's in our life, that we would leave. We would show them the standard that we live by, that you've called us to live by. In Jesus' name. God, I pray for single parents in this room who struggle from a divorce. God, they want to do the very best that they can. And I pray that you would give them the energy, the strength, and the will to continue and to lead their children. God, I pray for blended families who've come together from two separate walks of life. And I pray that you would help them to keep a God-centered home in their life. That their relationship would be centered around you, with their spouse. And God, their relationship with their children would be centered around you. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the back of your bulletin today, I provided you with several proverbs. You can take them home. You can hang them on the fridge. Write them down. You can throw it away. Whatever you want to do with it. They're just proverbs that you can use to train your children. As Coach Kalinos said, 17 inches. It never changes. Doesn't matter how old you are, there will always be 17 inches. It's up to us to live by. If you're in this room today and you have never had a relationship with God, I invite you to come forward as we dismiss. I would love to pray with you and walk you through the steps of salvation.